Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
There are those directors who, for one of many reasons, can never quite manage to best their very first feature film. But they still try, bless them. I'm Gareth from WhatCulture.com, and here are 10 directors who never topped their first film. Number 10, Simon West, Con Air. Simon West has carved quite the steady career for himself on the silver screen. In terms of the biggest project he's worked on, that's likely 2001's Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Yet the Englishman has also tackled military cover-up thriller The General's Daughter, the all-grunting action of The Expendables 2, Jason Statham's skull-cracking turn in The Mechanic, and the fun do-over of When a Stranger Calls. When it comes to his finest hour, though, Simon West will forever struggle to better his 1997 feature film debut, Con Air. Away from Nicolas Cage's glorious mane and John Malkovich threatening a stuffed toy bunny, there is so much on offer in Con Air that is just so very brilliantly of its time, yet also somehow so timeless. Joining Cage and Malkovich as part of a stellar ensemble, there's fellow scenery devourers such as Steve Buscemi, John Cusack, Danny Trejo, and Ving Rhames, with the action, machismo, and sheer cheese of Con Air marking it out as a favourite of many a film fan. Number 9, Ruben Fleischer, Zombieland. With 2009's Zombieland, Ruben Fleischer caught lightning in a bottle, so much so it proved completely impossible for eventual follow-up picture Zombieland Double Tap to get anywhere even close to capturing the charm and brilliance of that film. Fleischer followed his feature debut with the stumbling 30 minutes or less comedy, the stacked but disappointing Gangster Squad, the far better than we all feared Venom, and then that Double Tap offering that just felt so lacking on so many fundamental levels. All of Fleischer's post-Zombieland movies have shown promise, but nothing has yet to top what the director did with his very first feature film. In a subgenre of horror that's so often predictable and formulaic, Zombieland managed to break the mold and deliver something unique, pulling equal laughs and equal scares. Fleischer really did capture something quite special with his 2009 effort, it's gotta be said. Number 8, Kevin Smith, Clerks. Kevin Smith is one of those filmmakers who just forever splits opinion. Whether you're a massive Smith fan or one of the New Jersey natives' big detractors, the one thing that many will agree on is that Kevin Smith has never bettered his 1994 debut feature, Clerks. Some would argue that Chasing Amy maybe edges it out as Smith's best constructed picture, while others will point to the solid mainstream box office pull of Dogma. Yet the majority of film fans will usually point to Kevin's black and white tale of two store clerks and their everyday routine as being the director's very best outing. For those who do appreciate the filmmaking ways of Kevin Smith, he has an impressive back catalogue consisting of comic book heavy Mallrats, the Bible-thumping terror of Red State, the twisted body horror of Tusk, and the grin-inducing ensemble pieces of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. Yet it's Clerks that still stands on a pedestal. Number 7, Frank Darabont, The Shawshank Redemption. To Frank Darabont's credit, how do you possibly top The Shawshank Redemption? For Darabont, he would twice return to the works of legendary author Stephen King, adapting King's The Green Mile in 1999, and then The Mist in 2007 in the years since Shawshank's 1994 release. While The Green Mile itself would actually pick up 4 Oscar nominations, neither that movie nor The Mist, while both extremely impressive, were at the same level of The Shawshank Redemption. Jim Carrey's vehicle, The Majestic, was sandwiched in between The Green Mile and The Mist. But that was another picture left with the unenvious task of living up to what had been served up with Shawshank. Frank Darabont may have directed one TV movie and one straight-to-video effort previously, yet making his full cinematic directorial bow with The Shawshank Redemption is the stuff of dreams for a filmmaker. On the flip side, of course, you then have a ridiculously high standard to live up to with each and every project that follows such a successful picture. Number 6. Stuart Gordon, Reanimator. In the 1980s and into the 90s, Stuart Gordon was one of the standout writer-directors of the horror genre. Directorial efforts like From Beyond, Dolls, and the 1991 spin on The Pit and the Pendulum all won plaudits with the majority of horror hounds. While Gordon's writing work on those films and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Body Snatchers, and even in some quarters, The Dentist received praise. Of all the movies for which he was in the director's chair, though, there is no question that Stuart Gordon's finest hour was the Jeffrey Combs-fronted Reanimator, the 1985 picture that served as Gordon's feature film writing and directorial debut. Loosely based on H.P. Lovecraft's 1922 novelette, the crazed quest of Combs Herbert West to bring the dead back to life was a triumph of its time, and it's a movie that's still adored by the masses to this day. While Reanimator would be followed in 1990 by Bride of Reanimator, and then by Beyond Reanimator in 2003, those pictures never achieved quite the success of the first entry in this franchise. And part of that may be down to Reanimator producer Brian Usner taking the director's chair for those two follow-up films. Number 5. Bryan Singer, The Usual Suspects. The Usual Suspects is one of the absolute best movies of the 1990s, and it also stands as the best film of Bryan Singer's career. Singer's directorial bow, the picture was released in 1995, winning countless praise from fans and critics alike thanks to its delicate, unraveling story, the brilliant performances of its core characters, and a sleek, stylish direction that puts Singer on the map in a major way. A tale of a supposed chance meeting between five criminals, the tension and pace leading up to the eventual reveal of the sinister, feared Kaiser Soze really is masterful stuff, and The Usual Suspects still serves as a phenomenal watch all these years later. As for Bryan Singer's back catalogue, the first two X-Men movies are two other standouts of his career. While efforts such as Superman Returns, Jack the Giant Slayer, X-Men Days of Future Past, and X-Men Apocalypse all massively split opinion, 2018's Bohemian Rhapsody was a fantastic film too, yet it's one that was largely handled by Dexter Fletcher, after Singer stepped away from the picture during production, meaning, as it stands, The Usual Suspects has yet to be topped by the filmmaker. Number 4. John Singleton, Boys in the Hood. John Singleton is a talent who left us far too soon, passing away in 2019 at the age of just 51, in a career full of some great work. The absolute highlight of Singleton's filmography is without question Boys in the Hood. With a stunning core cast comprising of Ice Cube, Cuba Gooding Jr., Morris Chestnut, Lawrence Fishburne, Nia Long, Regina King, and Angela Bassett, this exploration of the gang culture of South Central Los Angeles struck a major chord with so many. As for Singleton, this directorial debut earned him a Best Director and Best Original Screenplay nomination at the 1992 Academy Awards, which made him, at 24 years of age, the youngest person ever to be nominated for the Best Director gong. Singleton would continue to put out movies on a regular basis until turning his attention to TV in the later years of his career. While big screen offerings such as 1997's Rosewood, 2000's Shaft, and 2005's Four Brothers all garnered positive reactions, the career of John Singleton will forever rightly be synonymous with his breathtaking feature, Boys in the Hood. Number 3. Zack Snyder, Dawn of the Dead. At present, one of the most discussed and buzzworthy properties in the entertainment industry is Zack Snyder's Justice League. Snyder's four-hour cut of the 2017 picture, this is a version of the film that fans have literally petitioned to see, with Joss Whedon having stepped in to finish off the theatrical cut of Justice League after Snyder had to step back due to the tragic death of his daughter. While it remains to be seen whether Zack Snyder's Justice League will end up becoming the director's greatest film to date, Snyder certainly has quite the history of producing some truly brilliant films. 300 is revered as a stunning visual experience, while Watchmen is either A, an absolute modern classic, or B, overly long and too brooding, depending on your viewpoint. Then there's the mindless fun and kicks to the face of Sucker Punch, plus obviously a Man of Steel picture that received a whole array of varying responses to it. However, and it may seem bold to say it, Zack Snyder's greatest film to date is his feature film debut, Dawn of the Dead. Horror remakes often rightfully have a reputation for being needless, mindless do-overs that only serve to tarnish the name of something great. In Dawn of the Dead's case, though, Snyder managed to put a fresh spin on an old favourite, in a way that even managed to appeal to those die-hard fans of George A. Romero and his utterly iconic 1978 Dawn, to the point that some people even actually prefer Snyder's version to Romero's. Number 2, Lee Tamahori, Once Were Warriors. Of all of the directorial debuts featured here, Once Were Warriors is likely the least known of the bunch. For those who have yet to check out Lee Tamahori's 1994 movie, it's one you should be hunting down as soon as possible. Set in New Zealand, this tale centers on a Maori family dominated by a fierce, erratic, heavy-drinking, abusive father played by Temuera Morrison, most recently seen as Boba Fett in The Mandalorian. Once Were Warriors is undoubtedly a tough watch at times, but it's also an absolutely stunning film that doesn't hold back as the family is pulled apart by the behavior of its patriarch. Director Lee Tamahori has gone on to have a solid career for himself in the years since Once Were Warriors, even getting to helm a James Bond outing with 2002's Die Another Day. Yet that 007 picture and the others he has helmed all haven't got anywhere close to matching the filmmaker's 1994 effort. And once again, just please go and watch it. Number 1, Orson Welles' Citizen Kane. While someone like Frank Darabont may have had the unenviable task of trying to top a silver screen directorial debut that amassed 7 Academy Award nominations and cemented itself as an all-time great of cinema, the example of Orson Welles takes that situation and turns it up to 11. For Welles, his Citizen Kane is often referred to in some circles as the greatest film in the history of cinema. After working on radio and stage productions, Welles' first foray into the world of film saw him co-write, produce, direct, and star in 1941's Citizen Kane. Detailing the life of fictional tycoon Charles Foster Kane, the film pulls inspiration from the lives of real-life figures such as Joseph Pulitzer, William Randolph Hearst, and Harold McCormick. Up until he passed away in 1985, at the age of 70, Orson Welles continued to write, direct, and act, although he never quite managed to get close to the sheer perfection that is Citizen Kane. Of course, there is absolutely zero shame in that, for Welles really did hand himself an impossible task when it came to trying to create something even better than a film widely lauded as the very best movie ever made.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.